Welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. It is Friday, November 20th. We got a big show ahead. We're talking about the markets trading right near all-time highs. Bitcoin breaking out again. Ethereum breaking out. The work-from-home stocks are actually holding up pretty good today. We're going to dive into that ETF and, of course, take your questions. So much more in another set, maybe? We're trying something new out. All this week, this Friday, Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, thanks everybody. Again, this is Matt McCall. It is Friday, November 20th. As you can see, I'm standing today. I'm trying to get my right standing so I don't block everything. So if I block the light with my right chicken wing, you know why, because it's brand new. And we're just getting things rolling. But I thought it'd be kind of cool to get the screen up and try something new. And we were going to have a guest today, but unfortunately, his daughter was exposed to COVID, so he is quarantining with his family. So the best to them, getting better quickly. So we're going at it alone. And because of that, I didn't have a show planned. And as you can see, I just got a little trim this morning. So I was out of the office getting a haircut, came in, found this out as I'm walking into the show. So it took the last 40 minutes, put something together for you guys. But I got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about a lot of stocks. I'm going to take a lot of your questions here as well. So number one, let's get into the markets. You can see right here, this is the S&P 500 we have up. It's down about 10.5 points, 0.3% today, but it is trading less than 2% from an all-time high. So let's keep in mind where we're at. Take a deep breath. Okay, it's down a little bit, but it's not really down that much from a high that we're at there. So keep that in mind that we are trading near highs. I mean, that's good. Let me expand this so you guys can see a little more. We are trading near highs. I love the consolidation too. Just give you a quick little lesson here on the charts. A couple lessons actually in here. This was a previous high. When you break highs and you come back to a new high, typically do what's called roll reversal. And that means when you break above the high, the resistance now turns into support. I always talk about like, this is a really big ceiling here, but say you jumped up and you went through the ceiling and you land. Okay, that was your resistance. You resist once you get through, that's your support. And you just keep going. And that's the uptrend and the way up. So here was your resistance going back here, broke through it, and then it's not always perfect. We pulled back and we pulled back again. So what we've seen here recently is we created new resistance, and there's your another support line. Another resistance that's called a double top, pulled back again, double bottom. This is a channel we're trading in between 3,200 and 3,600. We then broke above it, which is really important. We had some big volume in a breakout. You see a big green line. Then a lot of times what happens is you consolidate. You consolidate and go sideways. And consolidation is not always perfect. It's going to be up and down and doesn't always hold a line exactly. But if you can see, you draw the line here, we're consolidating right along that breakout level. And that is extremely bullish in my opinion. And then if we look down here, this is the RSI measured between 0 and 100. We're right in the middle, so we're not even close to overbought at this point. So I really love what we're seeing here, chart pattern-wise. You know, I cut my teeth in his business back in the day, teaching myself to read charts, wrote a book about how to read charts, how to use them in trading. So this is going back to my roots here, and this is a really, really bullish-looking chart right now. I didn't even realize until I started talking myself through it how bullish it does look. So that's something good to know, and markets look really, really good right here. Let's take a look at the NASDAQ composite. You can see here the NASDAQ composite is actually up 1 point in a day. So just basically it's unchanged. But a pretty similar pattern. One difference you see here is when it broke above its high, it didn't come all the way back down. It's actually great. It came close, but it didn't come down as the S&P. The other thing is when it pulled back the second time, I showed you in the S&P the double bottom. Remember we came here and here. This time it came a little higher. So they're forming right now in the NASDAQ here, what I would call is a ascending triangle. And I know that's gonna sound a little funky, but I'm gonna show you exactly what I'm talking about here if I can. I'm gonna draw a line here, and you can see this is that uptrend line, it's connecting these lows, and it gets better, that's great. And then if we draw a line here at the top, you can see here where my triangle comes from. See, there's your triangle, ascending top, boom. If we break above here, it's around 12,050, 12,020 or so. That's going to be a major, major breakout, and we're almost there. So If you didn't understand it, I went fast, but the bottom line is the charts on the NASDAQ, the charts in the S&P 500 are very constructive right now, very bullish. And the third one I'm gonna show you here is the Russell 2000, and what I'm gonna show here is even a more bullish chart. And this is the Russell 2000 right here, breaking out to the best level right there that we have seen going all the way back. I could zoom out a little bit further. Look at the double top that we had here. This was the all-time high back in 2018. We hit that. Look at that double top. I mean, that is amazing how it hit that. Then, of course, we had a sell-off in March. Broke through that. Look how quickly we came back, folks. Consolidate up here for a while. I got to tell you, that's why I'm so bullish on the small cap stocks right now. And, man, I just... I'm so excited. We've been buying for our Penn Financial Group clients a lot of small caps. We've been putting them out in our newsletters. They've been knocking, they've been doing so well. I mean, even with the market, the S&P down today, the NASDAQ basically unchanged. We had the Russell 2000 basically unchanged. The Dow's down. Some of the small caps we have are exploding. And we'll talk maybe about some of them. But I got to tell you, folks, the way that things are looking right now, they're looking good. I mean, they really, really are. You want to buy all the stocks that you have on your wish list. When they pull back, use the pullback. Use it as an opportunity. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's moving the markets here this week. Cases have been spiking of COVID in the U.S. and around the world. So that's keep people a bit cautious. We also, though, have some good news on the vaccine front. Pfizer, BioNTech, they are going to be filing their EUA, emergency use authorization, today, they said. So it might be out by now. It's about noon here, East Coast, me taping this. They might be out by now. It wasn't when I logged in here. But that's going to be coming out. So I think it's going to be approved very, very quickly by the FDA here. And they're going to be ready to turn that around. You're going to see millions of doses of the vaccine by the end of the year. I think we're going to see Moderna come out with theirs as well. I'll show you the charts here as I talk about them. Here's Pfizer's chart. Things with Pfizer, you're not seeing as big as a move higher. It's such a huge pharmaceutical company that it won't really affect the bottom line that much. Whereas if you take a look at BioNTech, the chart here, a little bit different because it's a smaller company, smaller German company. It's got a little bit more effect on the bottom line here. And that was the first gap up when it said it was about 95% efficient. Then Moderna came out and it fell, which was crazy. It's right back up today. It's up another almost 7% to 101 and change. And again, we do have this one for some Penn Financial clients we bought a little while back. I like this one. And then Moderna, I think this one will come out soon as well. I think they're going to file the EUA. And I own this one for myself, so I'm happy. I own Moderna here. And people keep asking me. They keep calling Penn Financial and asking questions. Just one more time for people. I have my own money, and I don't. Those stocks are just mine. Then I have the stocks they recommend for the newsletters. That's another tranche. And then I have stocks I buy for clients that I manage their money. It's another tranche. We don't cross swords anywhere in there. There's no crossing over of those tranches. And it's just to keep things easy, legally and everything else. It just keeps everything very, very clean. And some people don't like it. And you know what? That's too freaking bad because that's the way I run my business. And if you don't like my business, you don't have to come into it. It's like saying, well, I don't like the way you cook your burger. Well, then go somewhere else and get a burger. I can't please everybody. So just so you know, that's why we don't cross it. We don't always have every stock for every person. But Moderna I have, and I'm happy. So I like to be happy too. So that's where we are with the vaccines. Let's talk a little bit about Bitcoin. It keeps breaking out. I'm going to pull it up here on my phone because it's the fastest way to get the price right now. But I'm going to tell you, this action is unbelievable. Bitcoin, last time I checked, was 18,700 and change. Right now, it's 18,620. But it did hit this morning, or about an hour ago, 18,830. So we are within less than 10%, about 8% from an all-time high in Bitcoin. Do you remember Bitcoin back in March and a pullback? What hit? I think it went below 4,000, if I'm not mistaken. Up 4x from there. I mean, it is amazing the moves we're seeing right now. And it is just the beginning, in my opinion. It truly is. And I love logging in because I have Bitcoin. Another one that's breaking out is Ethereum. Broke above $500 level in Ethereum for the first time since 2018 as well. And right now, we got Ethereum trading at 509. So it's holding above that. You know, in the last month, Ethereum's up 34%. In the last year, Ethereum's up 192%. And to give you just an idea of that compared to Bitcoin, last month is up 58, but in the last year it's up 130. So Ethereum's actually outperformed. So I'll tell you this, you know, altcoins to me are every coin other than Bitcoin. But typically it's gonna be the smaller coins out there. And of course, we have two newsletter services that recommend altcoins. One as low as $199 to get in for a year. And that's when I partnered up with Charlie Schrem, one of the first people ever to buy Bitcoin, a legend in the industry. So we have a lot of fun doing that one. And people are asking, well, why aren't the altcoins doing as well recently in the last couple of months when Bitcoin's been breaking out? And I'll tell you this, you typically see a shift, and I'm gonna use an analogy that we just looked at here before with the small caps and the large cap stocks. You know, the large cap stocks have done well, now it's time for the small caps to shine. People call it alt season many times. I think Thanksgiving, Christmas, into early 2021, it's gonna be alt season. I think you're gonna see some of these altcoins, especially a lot of the DeFi, which is decentralized finance, which are coins that really help with the future of finance. Being able to get away from the old Wall Street and the old ways of doing things and banks and lending money, title insurance and all that crap, that is the future. So to me, altcoins are great buys here because a lot of them haven't moved yet and they're just getting poised to move. Just like the small caps are just breaking out, I think altcoins will have their breakout any day now. So I'm loving what I'm seeing with the action in Bitcoin, Ethereum, all the altcoins. So let's talk a little bit about from the work from home stocks, and I'll pull up that ETF is of course an ETF, if you know, but it's not a bad looking chart. It came out in June because obviously we had the pandemic back here, and then these ETFs try to capture everything they can. So they came out with the work from home ETF. So I have pulled up over here already some of the stocks that make up the work from home ETF. And what I did is I wanted to look at them at their PEG, which is the price to earnings divided by growth. The PE ratio, many people know about, it's the price to earnings ratio. You know, it kind of gives you the value of a company based on their earnings. If a company does not have earnings yet, they won't have a PE ratio and they won't have a PEG ratio. So you can put that aside. And a lot of the companies that we recommend are small cap companies that don't have earnings yet. So it doesn't apply to them. But I thought I wanted to try it running a scan here on the work from home stocks and see how they ranked as far as a good valuation PEG ratios. And a PEG ratio takes the PE, so say the PE is 20, and if the company's growing at 10% a year, you put 20 over the growth, 20 over 10 equals 2, so it's a PEG of 2. Not bad, it's okay. But say it's got a PE ratio of 20, but it's growing at 40% annually, 20 over 40 is 0.5, that's very good. To me, anything under 1.5 in this market is pretty darn attractive. It's going to catch my attention. So I went through and looked at some of them, and I can see here, I'm going to show you which ones are below 1.5. So everything above Adobe here is above 1.5. So let's go back so we can see more of the chart. And number one on the list with the lowest one is Facebook. And I got to tell you, the chart looks pretty darn good. You're seeing a bit of a, and I'm doing a lot of charting today just because people have been asking about it, and it's easy to do with the chart, but we're actually getting a touchscreen coming in any day now. We've ordered it a while ago, but I'm excited to get the touchscreen in too. Be a little bit faster. But this is what you call a triangle pattern. Consolidation, and typically it means you're gonna have this consolidation, and as it gets narrower, as you can see, you then break out to one direction or the other. Majority of time, it will go in the prior direction, the trend that it was in. So let's see what trend Facebook is in. Well, I'm gonna tell you what it's in. It's in an uptrend. So it's gonna go in a direction. So the odds are it breaks up. And so when it breaks above this uptrend lines around 290 right now, boom, it should take off and rally. So I love the action that's happened here in Facebook. And we do have some Facebook exposure for clients as well. So I'm loving that. Here's a Broadcom, AVGO, another great looking chart. Recent breakout, consolidating. This is a chip company, so that's why it's a work-from-home play, or at least a considered work-from-home play. Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, I don't really consider it a work-from-home, it's a communications company, and I just don't like the chart here at all, the way it's looking. Not one of my fans. American Movil, this is a mobile phone company in Mexico. Not doing anything for me. I'm just going to go faster with some of these. This is Upland Software, which is a company that's pretty interesting. I can see here it broke out. It's then coming back and consolidating again. This is a company that I've been kind of on my watch list here for a little bit. And it's about a $1.3 billion company. So it kind of fits in my wheelhouse of smaller companies. And you take a look at the financials and how it's done recently. Pulling this up on this computer. Last year did $222 million in sales. This year is expected to do $285 million. Next year, $287 million. After that, $297 million. So you're seeing a bit of a slowdown. So that's a little concerning, a slowdown in growth, because valuation-wise, it's actually pretty darn attractive. Trading this on this year's estimates, 2020 estimates, about $2.30 a share. So it's trading with a PE ratio, looking at this, at less than 20, around 19 and change. So PE ratio of 19 and change based on this year. You got a price to sales of about 4.5, which for a software company is not bad. The problem is it's really not growing. So that is my concern. So you're not seeing a lot of growth. So that's why I'd kind of stay away from this software company, because there's so many software companies that are growing out there. Then of course we have Amazon. I mean, there's not much I can say about that. That's why we know it's a work from home. Alibaba, here's one to take a look at. You know, this is really the second largest tech company in China. Tencent now holds that because Alibaba's fallen. Look at a huge volume on a sell-off. That's when the Ant IPO, which Jack Ma is a part of, he's the CEO, founder of Alibaba. They own a large portion of it. It was about to go public, and all of a sudden that day, boom, had a bit of an issue. I still don't realize exactly what happened, but they didn't issue it, they're not going public now. That sell-off to me is a great buying opportunity, one of the leading technology companies in the world. VMware, they do some software and some storage type stuff. Not looking at what's going on there. Google breaking out, consolidating, looks good. So just kind of going through here, you know, network appliance, NetApp, yeah. Adobe, we all know Adobe. You know, think about this. Look at Adobe going back a couple years, or a few years, I should say, not a couple. But, you know, when I talk about 10 baggers, you know, Adobe back in 98 was about 4 and change. That's a 100 bagger, folks. That's where $4,500 turns into $468,000. I mean, that's, this stuff's real. You could say, Matt, it took 22 years. I don't care. I feel like the last 22 years of my life went like that. I was just talking the other day to somebody about, since I've graduated college, which was 20 years ago, I went to grad school out there, but after I graduated college, in the last 20 years, I've called 15 different places home. Not cities, but 15 different buildings, apartments, condos, homes, home. It's unbelievable. My longest stay was a place in Columbus Circle in New York City, which is still considered my home. But man, oh man, traveling a lot. But if you keep going down, you can see all the different names these list. But my point is here, what I'm talking about, this is a great way to come up with ideas. If you're trying to come up with ideas for yourself and you're a beginner, if there's an ETF or there's something out there, there's a trend that you like, take a look at the holdings. Because a lot of times, if it's doing well, you're going to see the stocks in there doing well. And a lot of times, you know, the work from home's breaking out or about to break out because that basket of stocks as a collective is breaking out. So I'm not a fan of buying ETFs. I mean, I will every once in a while. But overall, you all know my approach. Buy your own basket. Because in that work from home I went through right here, you know, I don't mind owning Facebook or Broadcom. I don't want Hewlett Packard. I don't want AMX. I don't want Upland. I don't want VMware. I don't want NetApp. I don't know if I want Adobe here. I don't want Oracle. I don't want to own all these stocks. I'd rather pick 3 or 4 or 5, whatever it is, of the ones I want to own, and that is my own work from home. Create your own basket. The great thing about the way the market is these days, there is no commissions to buy and sell. It doesn't cost you anything. And keep in mind, I'm going to tell you, you think you're not paying anything to go buy this, but you are. This ETF is costing you money. Expense ratio is 0.45%. And you say, Matt, what's 0.45%? That doesn't mean anything. It adds up over time. Especially if your advisor out there is buying you mutual funds or buying you ETFs. The advisor might be charging you 2%, and then a basket of ETFs may range between 0.5 and 0.6% for some of them. So you're really being charged 2.6%. So you need to beat the market by 2.6% just to bet to the market. And I'll tell you, most of these advisors are garbage. And I've dealt with this a couple times in the last few weeks of looking at portfolios come over from other advisors. And I'm embarrassed to say I'm in this business sometimes. Because the people out there that manage billions and billions of dollars, much more than me, when I see, you know, they should have the best research in the world. And when you see a portfolio of literally 75, 80 stocks in one portfolio, in one account? So what can you have? 1.2% if you do it equally in each stock? You have to realize once you get to about 25, 30 stocks, studies show you revert back to the mean. If you're going to do that, go buy the SPY, the Spiders ETF. I think it's point, I don't know what they even charge now. It's like nothing. I'll tell you in a second. But they'll charge you 0.09% and you track the market. Why pay an advisor to do it? It makes no sense. You're paying me because I'm coming up for the newsletter for clients. I'm coming up with stocks you've never heard of, small cap, growth companies. It's different. You're getting what you're paying for. There's no guaranteed performance, but you're getting what you pay for. You're paying for the hard work, not the fact I'm sitting on a phone trying to call and get my next client. It's unbelievable, this industry, how bad it is. And sorry, I'm off on a tangent, but it gets me worked up. But it's a great way to look at stuff. You know, if, for example, if you say to yourself, you know, when you're like me, I like 3D printing. You know, I look at 3D printing. Here's a 3D printing ETF by ARK, which is one of my favorites. PRNT is a symbol, breaking out. Go look at the holdings there and see all about it. Let's see if I can even do it. If I can pull them up here, I'll show you real quick, and then I'll get on. Yeah, okay. Let me go pull them up here for you. It only has a couple in there. But let's go through these real quick. And this is why I don't own a 3D printing ETF. I don't want any exposure to 3D systems. Look at a long-term chart on this. Look at this. $100, now it's down to 750. Has it done well recently? Yes, a little bit bounced there. I don't want anything to do with it. Autodesk, it's not really a 3D printing stock to me. It's a very loose play in 3D printing. Align Tech, you know what they do, right? Invisalign. Sure, it's 3D printing, but it's like, again, it's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 3D printing industrial, the fourth industrial revolution, manufacturing 2.0, that's what I want. HPQ, it's in printing, yes, but it's not what I want. PTC, I love this stock. There's one. See, and that's one that's breaking out. Look at that. UPS, I'm not really considering UPS a 3D printing stock. Medtronic, yes, they probably 3D print some of their medical devices, but again, not what I'm thinking. You're getting a point here, right? Trimble, I don't know how they'd be a 3D printing. Microsoft, Ansys, GE, General Electric. I don't want to own GE. I want nothing to do with GE. So right there, folks, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you don't want an ETF or a mutual fund, because they're going to get you in crap that you don't want to be in. You know, if you look at the top holdings here of the 3D printing, I'm looking at it here on this computer down here. There's a ton of stocks I don't want to own. Their number one holding right now is this. It wasn't on that list, but this is number one holding, the X1 company. Okay, this chart doesn't look bad. If I'm just looking clearly at the last year, all right? So let's just zoom out, though. I want to show you where this has been. You know, split adjusted, this was $80. I mean, this company's had some issues. So one, I'd stay away from. Two, so I'm looking at this and I think to myself, there's a couple in here. The number two company, I have no exposure to, but I've been watching it forever. And I actually love this company, Materialize, MTLS. That's number two. So maybe if I build a 3D printing basket, that goes in it. That's how you have to play this, all right? Again, I know I went off on a tangent, but hopefully it's educational along the way. Now let's get into your questions. So I took the questions from Twitter because obviously my guest fell through and I just started talking. They started like, you know, okay, I'll get in there and talk and just go through. But I wanted to get a couple questions from Twitter. And a lot of questions about EVs, electric vehicles, and they've been hot, folks. I get it. They have been super freaking hot. And there's kind of an ETF that I think goes after a little bit, but not really. The autonomous and electric vehicle driving ETF, I'll pull it up and just kind of show you. It's had a hell of a run. But again, I'm going to pull up here on this one just to see what the top holdings are. And I want to see what they are compared to, you know, what I like and what a lot of people talk about. Tesla's number one, of course. That makes sense. You know, Tesla is the leading EV company out there. So that makes sense. It's the largest by far. However, the next holdings are Qualcomm, which is a chip company. NVIDIA, which I like. It's a chip company. Apple, you know, Apple Play, whatever. Maybe they get into self-driving cars. Then we have NIO, which I'll talk about here for a second, the Chinese company. Up again today, if it closes here, it's an all-time high, but it's pulling back a bit from the highs here in the last hour or so. It was at a high about an hour ago, and I looked. But again, we have some exposure to Penn Financial clients with this one. But boy, I'm loving what NIO's doing. And is it due for a pullback? Yes. It could pull back to 40 and still look fantastic. So don't get freaked out if you own this and it pulls back. That's part of just owning a high flyer. It's going to happen. But then the next holding here is Google, Toyota. companies I like, but again, you know, they're not really the EV pure plays. Microsoft, Advanced Micro Systems, Cisco, Honeywell, GE again. I don't want this crap. I don't want to buy this. I don't want exposure to Cisco or Honeywell or GE. That is not, to me, an EV, AV play. Come on, man. Terrible. Samsung, I don't mind. Plug Power, General Motors, Daimler, Intel. Where are all the hot ones we've been talking about? I mean, so these are the holdings you're getting when you get into an ETF like that. Not stuff I want to be in. I'm not saying you want to run out and buy just the high flyers. You want to have some solid companies in there. You know, I love Toyota. Toyota's one of the leaders in solid-state batteries, which people were asking about that too. Pays a nice dividend. I have nothing wrong with Toyota. I actually like the company. But again, when I'm looking at getting pure plays on electric vehicles and autonomous driving, Toyota is not going to be one that I necessarily look for. But again, it could be a core holding your portfolio, absolutely. It also pays a decent dividend, just under 3%. That's a nice core holding for a portfolio, don't get me wrong. But so NIO, and then we have, you know, Li's the other big one over there right now in China, up about 4% today. I do own that one. XPEV, I have no exposure to. XPeng, this one's been on fire, man, up another 13.5% today. Oh, I wish I owned this one. Man, oh man, they're breaking out. What about Workhorse? You all know that we have that in the portfolio since $2.71. 25.04 today, I'll take it, up 10%. Loving this. So these babies are flying. And then what about my Tesla? Let's take a look at Tesla too. Tesla, remember we talked about this last week. We talked about this ascending triangle, remember? It broke above at consolidation. We're on our way to fly higher, baby. We're looking good. We got another one potentially jumping in here too. And this is a SPAC. The name of this company is Arrival. This is a SPAC that announced the other day, early this week, that it's been merging with Rival. And valuation would be about $5.4 billion, a UK-based company. But they have a lot of stuff going on here. They've got a $110 million investment from Hyundai and Kia back in January. So they got some big money coming in from Korea. They use also what's called a skateboard platform. And a skateboard platform is just a very quick, simple way is, think of a skateboard, you know, it's got the four wheels on the platform, and you can put different vehicles on top of it. So that's what they're building, and then you can put different types of vans and cars and trucks on top of the skateboard. They're building, it's kind of like the chassis, the old school chassis you would think on a normal car. And it's probably the first time I've ever used the word chassis in my life. I do not know anything about cars. So much so that my scooter is not starting now. And I think the battery's low, so I have to kickstart it everywhere I go. And I bought this battery slow charge thing, but I have to try to figure out, that's my weekend project. I'm assuming a normal person could probably do it in 3 minutes. You plug it in, you connect it to the thing. It's gonna take me all day Saturday. I could see this happening already. Or I'm not gonna do it. But I just keep kickstarting it forever. It's kind of cool to kickstart it too. So they use a skateboard technology, which I really like that technology, that skateboard platform. No vehicles yet. They want to have 4 vehicles by 2023. They have an order, they say, of 10,000 vans from UPS, United Parcel Services. As I said, about a $5.4 billion valuation if it goes through. But you can see what happened. You know, SPACs, like as you all know, all but basically Ackman's trade at 10 bucks, and then until a deal's announced and they go up. So this thing's run up. It's at $16.93, it's called 17, so it's up 70% already. I would never chase it here. I don't care if the company, you know, could fly me to the moon in 10 minutes. I probably wouldn't buy it here after a 70% jump, because I've seen so many of these SPACs, and I'm just gonna go through a couple and show you what happens. You know, let's go back to one of the famous ones here, oops. Nikola, and look what happened. You can see rallied up, same type of thing. This went all up to 90 though. This is only at 17. It went up to 90, came back. There's so many out there. Let's look at Fisker. I don't like Fisker or Nikola, so I'm not saying that at all. But see how it ran up, came back down, came back up. I don't like either one. But we see this over and over with this type of action, these stocks. So it's not abnormal to see the big rally up and pull back. So I wouldn't chase anything here. If you have it, love it, congratulations. Another SPAC, it's crazy all these SPACs, Longview Acquisition Corp. This announcement just came out this morning, so this is very timely. You see the symbol here is LGVW. They are going to be merging with Butterfly Network. The symbol, when it comes out eventually, will be BFLY, B-F-L-Y, as Butterfly. According to the company, Butterfly, they are an ultrasound transducer that can perform a whole body imaging with a single handheld probe using chip technology that connects to a mobile phone or tablet. So basically, you'll have this mobile little device and do a whole scan, your whole body MRI, just connected to a little device. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. It'd be about a $1.5 billion deal. What I like about this is two things. One, the guy behind the SPAC is a Larry Robbins. He's a hedge fund billionaire. Just because he's a hedge fund billionaire doesn't mean he's smart. I mean, he probably is, but usually when you have big money behind it, they know what they're doing. More important to me, investors in Butterfly Networks, or Network, before this happened, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they're invested in a lot of startups, especially in the medical field, but also Bally Gifford. Bally Gifford is a smaller, I guess big now, hedge fund over in Scotland. And I've been following them for a while. They are one of the largest holders of Tesla. They are in cutting edge. They're almost like a toned down ARK a little bit. You know, the ARK investing goes after growth, innovation. Very similar to, you know, ARK, myself, and Bally Gifford, all very similar to what we do. We're looking at the future. We're looking at high growth, things that are going to change the world, exponential growth, hyper growth. You know, Moore's Law, Wright's Law, you name it, all that stuff comes into play here. And they're backing it, so I love that too. Again, I don't buy anything when it's up. It's only up 20% only. But I don't chase it here. You know, it's up at 1183 right now. It probably pulls back at some point. Maybe it follows through next week. I don't know. But, you know, just so you know, I hate chasing anything like this, but I wanted you to know about this deal that went through here today. So now I'm going to take a couple questions here from you before I wrap up for the day. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that stuff. Place your comments down there. I should always tell you that sooner, but please do it. You can tell me a comment in the haircut. I think it's starting to grow out on top a little bit. I got to shave it in the back. If you see me itching because I didn't shower, it came right from here. So I have hair in my neck and it itches like crazy. I took some funny questions here. Not funny, but some are just kind of, you know, not necessarily the stock market. One was, what part of the country would I buy land? Somebody asked me. Probably... Well, first of all, I'm saying I would buy land in Nicaragua. I think that's the place to go. And I'll be going there over the holidays. That's where I'll be working. And hopefully, if the book's not done yet by then, I will be spending that entire couple weeks in Nicaragua finishing my book and surfing and drinking beer as well, but and working out, but and getting a suntan and swimming. So I'd buy Nicaragua. But if not, I know Wyoming's booming right now, maybe Wyoming, Montana. After watching Yellowstone, I'm the furthest thing from a cowboy. But man, it kind of makes me want to have some land up there. So I'd probably buy it up there, get some nice land. Somebody asked about the lawsuits around SPACs you see a lot of times. A lot of times when SPACs like this goes, this gets announced, then if you go to Yahoo Finance in the news, it's all these class action lawsuits. Every freaking ambulance chaser in the world's in there. Nothing against attorneys, but they drive me crazy. It's all BS. Just ignore it. It's just them trying to get money from these companies, and they say you're going to get a piece of it. You never end up getting anything anyway. You may get pennies, and meantime, the attorneys make all kinds of money. It's complete horse, you know what. Somebody asked, what do I do if I see the market crash coming? Well, if I can see it coming, I feel blessed there because I could do some things. But I'm a long-term investor, and we'll go back to March and April, for example. You know, that came so fast. I mean, I don't, maybe people can say, well, I knew Corona was coming. I saw it in the news. I didn't see it coming. I'll be honest with you. And it came so fast that you kind of get stuck with your pants down. Once it comes down, all of a sudden these stocks are screaming buys. I did the opposite. We just loaded up all the cash we had. We put out the crisis and opportunity portfolio, which many people of you know, they're subscribers, early stage investor. You know, that portfolio is up 120% as a whole since January 1st versus the S&P up 45. I mean, that's, you know, your financial advisor might be like, oh, since that time, I'm up 30%. Well, the market's up 45, buddy. You're not doing too damn good. That portfolio is up 120. It's doing pretty good. So I look to buy on most pullbacks. If I see some type of prolonged recession, bear market happening, and I don't see that happening anytime soon, number one is raise cash. You want to raise cash. You don't want to try to short the market and go at it because it's not going to work out, I'm telling you. Raise cash. And then there's always going to be certain areas that do well. Look for the areas that are going to do well. 2008, when the market was down 38.5%, Walmart was actually up big. So look at stuff like that. Sorry, that's what I do. Another question, there's these two political questions on there. and saying I had to talk about Trump hiding and the deep state and all this stuff, I don't have to talk about anything. And I'm not getting into the politics and Trump and all that stuff. That's not why you tune into me. Honestly, if you want politics and you lean right and you want to get feel good about yourself, tune into Fox. If you lean left, tune into CNN or MSNBC. I'm not here for that. I'm here to make you money regardless of what jackass is sitting in government, because I don't like any politicians. It doesn't matter what side they're on. Billy, baby. How about Billy? So this is a stock that has a great looking chart. Anybody see anything that looks familiar here? Kind of that consolidation, see? There's your double bottom, there's your top breakout on huge volume to a high, and take a little bit longer term. Look at that. This is a stock that we put in our 5G highway portfolio on May 7th of this year. And we're up now over 100%. We put in 2865, so we're up about 103% or so, I'd say, give or take. That portfolio since that day is up 60%, with the S&P up 24%. And these are stocks, you wouldn't think Billy is a 5G play. However, it's a 5G highway. And this is investment opportunities, which for $99 a year, you get instant access to this entire portfolio, plus all of other portfolios, plus a monthly newsletter, plus we just put out two new stock ideas. I mean, you get it all, folks, for $99. It's the best deal in the world, definitely in this industry. So Billy is a 5G highway play. What that means is, when 4G, let's go back, for example, when 4G came out, it opened the opportunity for streaming. Netflix was able to create a business. Uber, Lyft, all these companies, Amazon ordering right now. I mean, Amazon had a business, but now Prime, boom, you can get it. You can watch Prime Video. All the things because of the speed of 4G. Because of the speed of 5G, what industries will be created or accelerated? Gaming. Billy's a big gamer. Autonomous vehicles. Starting to accelerate. You're going to see it by the end of the decade. By the time 5G is all rolled out, you'll see autonomous vehicles. Robotic surgeries, we already had that, but it's going to take it to the next level. Healthcare wearables, connecting things all over the place. That's going to be accelerated. So you want to play the stocks that are going to be along that highway. I'm telling you, man, what a great opportunity. And then I'll take one more question from anybody who came in late. I'm going to pull up my Twitter right now and see if anything looks good. Let's see here. Who came in late? Update on crypto, Bitcoin. I did that. Update on Blink Charging. All right, I'll do Blink Charging because a lot of people keep asking about it. Here's Blink Charging, BLNK. And you can see, I mean, this thing's going bananas from $8 to $24 just in the last week or two. It's a charging station. It does charging stations. I'll tell you this, you know, I would not chase this here. And when it comes to the fundamentals, I'm not as excited about Blink as I am. We have one in our solar portfolio that also has charging stations, and I'm much more bullish on that. It hasn't run up as much as this, but it's up really big in the last couple of weeks. But Blink now is a nearly $800 million company. And if I take a look at the financials, I need it, and okay, it's worth $800 million. Last year, it did $2.6 million in sales. Okay, so that's obviously very overvalued. But what's the future look like? This year, we're estimated to do 7. Next year, estimated to do 14. So, I mean, you're seeing huge growth. But even on next year's sales, 14, you're still looking, you know, at a price-to-sales ratio that is pretty much through the roof. What, in the 50s or so? It's too much for me. I wouldn't chase it. There are some stocks out there, too, and I'll talk about, you know, this is one that is SPAC that will be going into a charging station as well, charging station company. You can see this is run as well. I mean, anything EV related is going. Biden talked about he wants to have EV charging all throughout a big network of the country. And yes, it's going to happen. And yes, these companies are going to be highly valued. The problem is a lot of them have gotten away from themselves. And I don't want you getting caught buying at the top, chasing at the top. I just think you're going to see pullbacks. And this is a long-term trend. The ones that are going to make it will pull back and find nice support and keep going. The ones that won't make it will come down. You've seen it, you saw it in cannabis. The ones that are going to make it will eventually make it as this next rally has started. The ones that don't rally with this next rally aren't going to make it. So that's a similar way to look at this. All right, so the last thing I want to wrap up with is I have a show before Thanksgiving, so I won't get into my Thanksgiving rant yet of what you're thankful for. But I will say this, and I can read some on Tuesday before Thanksgiving. You know, a tradition in my household is, and I hated it, but you had to like take a flower or something and you put it in front of everybody and always say what you're thankful for that year. You know, of course, I was a jackass for most of my life, so I'd always say something funny, make people laugh. That's just the guy I was, and piss off my brothers or sisters or the family. But, you know, it's just what I did. But as I've gotten older, I've done more, you know, thankful for my health and my family and all the stuff you're supposed to say. But why don't we share? And I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. And it won't be, I'll do something outside the norm next Tuesday as my Thanksgiving special. And as my thanks to you, I'm going to bring some top stocks and share them with you. So that's going to be my thanks to you. So share in your comments what you're thankful for. If anybody's made this long in the show, I'll know who watched this long. Tell me what you're thankful for, and I'll read some of the best ones out there. And some funny ones, too, if you have some funny ones. Nothing dirty, though. Nothing X-rated on this show. So, again, thank you so much. Go out there, and if you don't check in next week, have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Enjoy your family. Holiday season's coming up. Let's smile. Let's have fun. Get into the holiday spirit. We get to do Christmas music next week. I love that. I love Christmas music. Little Bing Crosby coming across the airwaves. So again, everybody, thank you so much. I'm thankful every day that you tune in and watch. You know, last week's show already over 10,000 views. That's our best weekly show we've had ever, I think, in that short of a time. So thank you for everything you're doing. And we can't wait to, we're gonna keep growing the studio, getting better, getting cooler. I got a lot more toys we're gonna be bringing in. And we took some suggestions. I'm gonna start doing 2-minute updates on Twitter in the mornings, maybe midday or after market. And then hopefully we're going to get like a 15-minute show every day about the market. And then we'll do maybe a big wrap one on Friday like we're doing here. So thank you, everybody, so much once again. I can't wait till we can get out there and do a big conference and meet all of you in person. But until then, we got this. So have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Go out there, hug somebody, tell them you love them. And once again, I'm Matt McCall. That's been your Moneyline.
With Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.